It's an honor and blessing to be here. I appreciate this church. I guess every group says it, but honestly, there's not many of us left that believe the Bible and try to live according to what it teaches. And I appreciate this church. I appreciate your music and your standards and for souls and your support for missions. Appreciate your pastor staying true to God's Word and you backing him up and supporting him on that. Thank you for the good place to stay and the good meals. I am not that guy that preaches his part and then heads out of town, but I have to get back tomorrow. One of our men has passed away. We have his funeral service on Friday morning. 25 years that man worked in our church, duplicating cassette tapes and then CDs. And in 25 years, that man never gave his pastor 1 minute of trouble. You can't say that about too many people been in church 25 years, but that's it's hard to replace those kind of men. But he's gone on to be with the Lord. His funeral, we've got to get back for that. So, all right, I have always joked about preaching on a verse out of Proverbs, and don't turn there. I'm not preaching out of the Proverbs, but the Bible says in Proverbs 30, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear, and one of them is for an odious woman when she is married. And how would you ever preach on that? And then Proverbs, don't look around. And Proverbs 31 says, next chapter, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband is safely trust in her. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 6. And we're going to experiment tonight. I'll just try out a little something that I saw here recently in the Scripture. Mr. Dickens, in one of his classic works, A Tale of Two Cities, he said it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. And tonight I'm going to preach to you A Tale of Two Mothers. And it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. I don't want to preach something that might exclude a goodly portion of a congregation. And so I'm not preaching just to mothers tonight, but I'm preaching to everyone who has either known the great blessing and joy of having a godly mother to raise them, or everyone that has the potential of being a godly mother, or everyone that could ever possibly have an influence at all upon a child's life. And I hope that you do. You know, you say, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to be a missionary. I don't think I'm a great soul winner. There's not very few of us, if not all of us, we live somewhere where there's a little boy riding his bicycle up and down the street in front of our house, and he's got no daddy and no mother to bring him to Jesus. You could. Every one of us lives in a neighborhood where there's some little girl in a broken home that cries herself to sleep at night and wonders if anybody loves her, and you could tell her about Jesus. You don't have to go to Zanzibar or to China to do some great work for God. You could get some boy or some girl from your neighborhood in the Sunday school, in the church house, and let them learn about Jesus. Amen. And honestly, if you work in our, we have good news clubs in the schools and in the boys and girls clubs after school. We've got bus ministry. And if you had any idea what lies outside your safe, sheltered world of Christian friends and godly people that you hang out with, I tell you, these boys and girls growing up in our towns today, rural or urban, doesn't matter. Most of them don't stand a chance if we don't get in there and get them to Jesus. Their home lives are horrific. Anyway, let's pray. Father, please bless your word tonight and help me, Lord, to get across what you want said this evening. And Lord, that it help us and be a blessing to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 17, Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John. That's John the Baptist. And bound him in prison. Why'd he do that? For Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Wouldn't it be terrible to start a controversy 1 minute into my sermon? But the Holy Ghost said she was still married to the man she married the first time. Herod took her and Herod started a relationship with her, but the Holy Ghost said she was still Philip's wife. Well, I better move on from that. We're too careless today We're too accommodating of a society that wants to live outside the Bible. And we're bending over backwards where people don't want to go by the book. You get enough of them in your church, you'll lose your church. You better stay with the Bible. Anyway. Herod, the Bible says, just right on down here quickly. Herod said, verse 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man and holy and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things that hurt him gladly. Herod, no indication he was a believer. Herod, no indication he put his faith and trust in God. But he respected the preacher. And he was curious about the preacher. And he responded to the preacher. And the preacher was moving Herod in God's direction. But Herod was tied up with a wicked woman. And that woman hated that preacher. That woman would do anything she could to shut that preacher's mouth. That woman would do anything she could to stop that preacher's influence over her husband. She didn't want the Word of God and the power of God to get inside her home. She'd had to repent, going back to that other man. She'd had to change some direction, fix some things up. She had no intention of fixing them up. And so she pressured her husband until he went against God's man and against God's preacher and locked him up and put him in jail. She thought that'd be the end of it. But that man just kept on preaching. It seemed like he still had an influence over Herod. It seemed like he still had Herod's ear and still moving Herod in the right direction. That woman said, I'd kill that man if I could. I'd like to have him dead. If I could put that man in a graveyard, I would do it. You know tonight, listen, things are different than they were when I got saved, started preaching in 1977. I tell you, when we preach on the street today, we get more cussing out of the mouths of women than we do out of the mouths of men. We get more bitter, violent opposition from women than we do from men. Something's terribly wrong in this country. And I'm telling you, I've watched men, I've watched them shrink and cower and shrivel up and their spiritual life die. And eventually they'll come and tell me in a whimpering voice with a tear in their eye, I just believe the Lord wants us to leave this church. The Lord don't want you to leave this church. Herodias wants you to leave this church. A woman doesn't want you moving God's direction once you leave in this church. A woman doesn't want you acting and doing many things that the preacher preaches once you leave in this church. A woman who wants to raise her daughter without God reining her in wants you to leave this church. Amen. I'm telling you, there's men sitting tonight in sorry, good-for-nothing churches, and they hate that church, and they hate the wimpy preaching, and they hate the spineless pulpit ministry, and they hate the carnality that's going on in the youth department, but they can't stand up to Herodias. Amen. There's women in this country right now, if they could wreck and ruin every godly preacher in the land, they'd do it with a smile on their face. And they're raising sons and they're raising daughters. Herodias is tied up with a man, and a man's tied up with a woman, and the man, God's moving his heart to go the Lord's way, and the preacher's got a hold of him. He's glad to hear the preacher, and he's trying to do some things the preacher says. And his wife is cutting the legs out from under this man. And she'd kill that preacher if she could. Well, let me tell you something tonight, on a Wednesday night in a King James Bible-believing church with a Bible in your lap. If you're sitting next to a woman you're married to, and she's glad you're in this church, and glad you're singing those songs, and glad you're reading that Bible, and glad you're not bringing booze home, and glad you're not watching dirty movies, you'll just right now just take her hand and squeeze it a little bit, let her know how thankful you are you're not married to Herodias. He said, I'd just stand for God anyway. No, you wouldn't. I'd just live for the Lord no matter what. You would be limited in your prayers. You'd be limited in your Bible reading. You'd be limited in your giving. You'd be limited in your service. You'd sure be limited in how you could raise those children. There's many a man tonight. He decided, I can't live with her. He split up, went this way, and she went that way. Well, before you do that, brother... Well, you do that, sister. Now 5 days a week or 9 months out of the year, You're going to have no influence over those kids. Now it's going to be him or her and whoever they join up with next that don't want anything to do with Jesus. And you're going to try on 2 weekends a month to undo the rest of it. You better think about that. 1 Corinthians 7 says, if you hang in there, at least there's somebody there to sanctify that home, sanctify those children. I'm telling you, this man, he wanted to go God's way. But he's got a woman. He's got more influence, more power over his life than the preacher and God and the Holy Spirit. That's a tough situation to be in. Now look at this. The Bible says in verse number 22, when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords. They went down to the shrimp place and were having a big time down there. High captains and chief of states of Galilee. That's what people do when their friends come around, have a big meal and big celebration. And when the daughter, now, I don't think she's come to years, and I'll tell you why before I'm through this evening. But you look at this, when the daughter of the said Herodias, I like that. Like, not somebody else. This is not some other woman's daughter. This is that woman's daughter. The one I was just talking about. When the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and then sat with him, and the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Now I'll say something, and you like this or not like this. It doesn't matter. I've got the place where now I don't argue with people anymore. Because they don't listen. I can't win. I'm right and they're wrong. They don't believe it. So no point in arguing about things. But I'm glad I grew up in a country where 2 or 3 times a year, the only 3 TV channels would show a movie about Jesus. But careful what you wish for. Because I used to say, man, those things, there's so many things in there that's not scriptural. I wish they wouldn't show those movies. Well, okay, now they don't. I mean, it's better than growing up in a country where they show films about Muhammad or Buddha or something like that. But you know those movies, they're put out by lost people in Hollywood, and they show 30 seconds of John the Baptist preaching and 5 minutes of this girl dancing. You know, that's Hollywood. But I'm going to say something tonight, and I'm not talking about the girl, I'm talking about her mother. Sitting right here in the front row, there's some young ladies over here, there's some young ladies over here. Do you know tonight, and God forbid it wouldn't happen, do you know tonight, if Brother Tim said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We've got one of these girls come up here tonight and dance to please you men. There's not a girl here that would know what to do. There's not a young lady here that would have any idea what direction to gyrate this and what direction to throw that to make men say, wow, look at that. Thank God. Now, many of them know how to quote scripture and know how to play a musical instrument and know how to sing a song for Jesus and know how to lead a soul to Christ, know how to give in a missionary offering. You know why? Because their mothers taught them how to do that. They were trained to do certain things. Now, what they do when they're 25, be up to them. What they do when they're 40, be up to them. But as long as they're a child under authority, they will know when they're 15, 16, 17, 18. They will know how to do those things they were taught and encouraged to do by their mothers. How'd that girl know how to go out there and dance in such a way as to make a strong man lose his mind? Mother must have signed her up for some classes. Mother must have taken her to some theater situations. Mother must have sat her down and had her watch the most worldly and depraved of women. And so, that's the way to go. That's who you want to be. Mother must have set before her daughter growing up all the little Disney girls and all the little movie star girls and all the little video singing girls, and she must have learned how to throw the hip out this way and stick the bosom out that way and unbutton this and shorten that. Listen, you don't learn to dance in such a way as a king will give you half his kingdom just by accident. And you don't learn to give your life to King Jesus and live for the Lord unless somebody's taught you how. When somebody comes in here Sunday morning, I hope they do, and walks this aisle and gets saved, and Dad gets saved, and Mom gets saved, and the teenage girl gets saved. That 17-year-old girl is going to take some work. She doesn't know anything you know. But somebody growing up in a church house 17 years, she doesn't need that. She's not even looking at the board. She knows the words to those songs. Her mind is 10 miles away on this and on that, and she's singing the song right along. Why? It's in her heart, it's in her mind, be there all her life. Turn to the book of Mark. She doesn't have to look in the index. She doesn't have to ask the person sitting next to her. She knows where the book of Mark is. But if you said to her, do the Watusi, she wouldn't know what you're talking about. Do the twist, she wouldn't know how to twist it. Praise God. I'm not justifying this young lady, but I'm telling you, somebody pushed her out there on that dance floor long before that birthday party. Somebody taught her to go the wrong way long before she got heading that way. Now let's keep going here, because we're having a great time here tonight. Praise the Lord. Show them what that is, Joe. Italian Watusi. And the Bible says in verse 23, and he swear unto her, whatsoever thou should ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. He would make her his equal. Now, you know something? Here's my next point. You young man, you will give up your career, your ministry, your future, your bank account, your brains, and your honor if you run across the girl that's wise in the ways of this world. She will plow you over, man. You need to grow up innocent. You need to grow up pure. You need to grow up with an idea, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do this to make a living. I'm going to do this for my church. And you need to meet a girl that's more innocent than you are and more clueless than you are. So when you kiss on your wedding day, neither one of you knows which way to twist your head. Because you grow up in Sunday school, and you grow up in vacation Bible school, and you grow up in the youth group, and then you get out there on the job, and you meet some hammer-swinging gal. She's going to plow your field, man. So I'm stronger than that. Herod's running the government. And that dancing girl got his lust going. That dancing girl got his engine revved up. And he said, I'll give you a co-signing on my bank account. That's what he said. Everything I've got, we split it right down the middle, 50-50. You know, there's women raising their daughters, because Herodias lived this way. They're raising their daughters to be skilled in ruining men's lives. They're raising their daughters to be skilled in taking men's property. They're raising their daughters to be skilled in humiliating and making fools out of strong men. You better get to know her mother, not just her. You better find out how she's been trained. Some of you men ought to back me up here. Don't leave me out here hanging on a, walking the plank by myself out here. Now watch this. Verse number 24, and she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? That's why I think she's a young girl. She's 23, she's not asking mom. She's 27, she's not, mother, what do you want? She goes asking mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Now this is what hate does. If your mother's not a hateful woman, you ought to thank God. If your mother's not a bitter woman, you ought to thank God. If your mother doesn't hold a grudge against God and the world and four preachers that they've left in their wake, you ought to thank God. This woman could have had half the kingdom. But she so hates that preacher. She'd rather kill a preacher than have a throne. She'd rather kill a preacher than have a king's bank account. You ever seen a woman in church get bitter? She got a nice house. She got a nice car. Her husband makes good money. She got plenty of good clothes. She go out to restaurants. She got everything in the world. But all she wants is to ruin that preacher. She can't be happy. Her kids, none of her kids got cancer. None of her kids got leukemia. None of her kids, you know, she got a great life. And every time she gets on that Facebook, it's one more nasty thing about that church. Every time she gets on that phone, it's one more nasty thing about that preacher. This woman could have had half of Herod's kingdom. But all she could think about is, that preacher preached against me when I wanted to get remarried. I left my husband and I took up with that man and I busted up my home and I busted up his home and I told that preacher that the Lord gave me peace about it and I told that preacher that I felt led and I told that preacher that we were in love and God is love and he wouldn't marry us. And I'll cut his head off. If I can't do it with a sword, I'll do it with my tongue. Or nowadays, with my thumbs. The thumb is mightier than the sword. That's the new version. Now, somebody stand up and tell me I'm lying. You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. I've had men oppose me, so have you. And some of them were right, some of them were wrong. I've been wrong. No, it hasn't all been the other guy's fault. Some has been my fault. But I'll tell you, the ones that try to ruin you, man will move on and go do his own thing. That woman, she won't rest until you're in the gutter of the grave, man. That's good preaching, brother. Yes, good preaching. Just go right ahead. Preach that. She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. That's about sick. I want that preacher's head on a silver platter. How about that? And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, he got all worked up and lust of the flesh shot off his mouth. Now what's he going to do? And for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. Now, the Bible's really powerful. Everything the Bible says is powerful. And a lot of things the Bible doesn't say are powerful. And all these young girls in here tonight, pretty girls, all but a couple of them, they're pretty. No. Me and Trump, we just wouldn't say those things. Those little tweets get us in trouble. I'm just joking. All but one of you are pretty. Anyway, look at all these sweet, innocent little girls in here tonight. Sweet, innocent, pretty teenage girls in here tonight. You know what every one of them would do if somebody walked in here holding the severed head of a man? They would be terrified. They would be shocked. They'd be screaming and people running from the doors. But this woman, she'd been taking her daughter to so many gladiator fights down at the arena. She'd been taking her daughter to so many head-chopping sword fights down there at the arena. That girl spent her life, I mean, since she's 6 years old, she'd been sitting in her bedroom playing video games, shooting people and blowing them up and stabbing them and chopping them to pieces. Death didn't shock her. Blood didn't shock her. Guts and gore didn't shock her. They walked in there with a man's head. His bloody neck, his twitching eyeballs, on a silver platter, and that girl said, thank you very much. Man, how depraved do you have to be? How far gone does a teenage girl have to be to where she doesn't blush and doesn't shudder and doesn't draw back and isn't afraid by death and violence and destruction? Well, we got a lot of mamas like that today. Little girls used to grow up, you know, baking and cooking and sewing and reading poetry and all that girl stuff, you know. Now they grow up sitting next to their brother firing bazookas and tanks and lifelike images on a screen. The blood splatters everywhere. Something's messed up, man. I went to high school right here in Florida down the road. And boys came to school in their pickup trucks with shotguns in the gun racks. Because nobody would have been crazy enough to shoot another person. Well, how do you get that crazy? It's not the water. It's not the air. It's not the, you know, the GFO in NFLs or whatever's in the food. Somebody had been desensitized to violence and blood and gore and death. That girl, man, she walking around with a preacher's head on a platter. Pretty far gone. You know how she got that way? Looks to me, reading this passage, Mama taught her. Mama taught her. And the damsel gave it to her mother. What a pair. You know something? You young people, I know you don't like all the rules. Let me tell you something. I'm 61 years old. I don't like all the rules. You say, one day I'll be old enough, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's when they chisel the second date on your tombstone. Till then, somebody's going to tell you what to do. You're going to be 85 years old and can't walk. Somebody's going to say, now you hush and eat your oatmeal. Long as you're alive, somebody's going to tell you what to do. But if your mother and your daddy, young people, listen. If they told you this morning, read your Bible. Say your prayers. Get that homework done. We've got Bible conference tonight. No, you're not wearing that. Put on something better. We're going to church. You ought to thank God you don't have a mother teaching you how to hate preachers, have them thrown in jail, get divorced, ruin a man's life, and walk around with a severed head like it's normal. Because you could have had a mama like that. You could have had a grandmother like that. You could have grown up in a church that doesn't see anything wrong with any of that. The damsel and her mother, they're just as happy as they can be that they shut up another preacher. You're happy when somebody gets called to preach. You're happy when you get to meet a new missionary family in a missions conference. You're happy when somebody starts a new ministry and goes out here door knocking or street preaching or gets in a new prison or gets in a new nursing home. Aren't you glad you're raised by a mother? Aren't you glad you're raised by a daddy? Aren't you glad you're married to a woman that wants preachers to prosper, not to die? Praise the Lord. Well, let's look at the other side. That was the worst of times. Here's the best of times. Next chapter, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Mark 7:24. And from thence he arose, and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Jesus just wanted a little time off, but it wasn't possible. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. I've thought many, many times throughout the day today, do I say this? Do I not say this? Is it right? Is it wrong? I'm going to say it. You can decide. The girl in Mark 7 is better off with an unclean spirit and a decent mother than the other girl was without the unclean spirit and a rotten mother. It's easier to get rid of the devil than it is to get rid of the influence of bad parents. Some, I don't know all of you. I know Brent and Joel. You ought to thank God for a heritage. As far back as you can remember, your family tree full of Christians. Some of you sitting here tonight, got Brother Tim up here on the platform, and godly daddy and godly mother. Now his children growing up, godly daddy, godly mother. You have no idea. This girl's got an unclean spirit, but she got hope because somebody loves her and is going to do something to get her out of that mess. Instead of that chapter we read about that last woman. Now watch this. Daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him. She don't know much about Jesus. She just heard of him. She couldn't graduate one of our Bible institutes, but she heard of him. She probably couldn't quote the Romans Road, which would be hard to do because it wasn't written yet, but she just heard of him. I don't know everything there is to know about Jesus. I don't know everything Jesus came to do. I don't know everything Jesus teaches. But I bet he can help my daughter. And she's moving. She's not moving toward another woman's husband. She's moving toward Jesus. And she heard of him and came. She didn't just get an invitation. She showed up Sunday morning. She didn't just get a gospel tract. She put it in her pocketbook. When she got home, she read it. She didn't just have a friend tell her about church. She asked for a follow-up visit. Maybe Jesus could help my daughter. Let me put forth the effort to go and find out. She heard of him and she came and fell at his feet. Can you imagine that woman in Mark 6, Herodias? In the Greek, it's Hillary. It's those little things, if I just wouldn't say those things. Here's why I said that. Can you imagine that class of woman falling at the feet of a man? Can you? Come on now, you know what's out there. These political figures and these music figures and these march figures and these organizing figures and these celebrity figures. Can you imagine them on their knees in front of a man saying, "Help me, I need your help"? They'd never do it. If you've ever seen your mother, your grandmother, your big sister on her knees at the sofa in the living room, on her knees at an altar in a church house, you ought to thank God you're being raised by somebody that's going to Jesus and saying, "Help my son, help my daughter, help my grandchild. I am not ashamed to bow on my knees. I'm not ashamed to fall at your feet. I need help." Oh, these proud and haughty spirits. You know, I could talk till tomorrow morning about how insane this country is. And I'd just be getting started. You're a woman who lives in the United States of America. You can go to college. You can be a CEO. You can have your own house, your own car. You can marry a man. You can divorce a man. You can take off. You can be a preacher. And you convert to Islam? Do you know how stupid you have to be? I'm not talking about getting raised in it. I'm talking about America's terrible. It oppresses women. I'll become a Muslim. Who took your brains? I'm telling you, you young ladies, if you went off to that university, you went off to that public high school, they would tell you morning, noon, and night. Men, bad. Men, oppressive. Woman, strong. Woman, powerful. Woman, need no man. Where's it got you? You know what this woman did? She fell at his feet. "Lord, I don't really know who you are. I don't really know what you can do. I don't really know much about your doctrines. I couldn't get one question out of 10 right. I'm not even a Jew. It's
not even my religion. But I heard that you can help my daughter. I don't want the devil to get my daughter. I don't want the devil to get my children. I will bow before you and humiliate myself if you'll just help my children. Praise the Lord. The woman was a Greek. She's not part of the chosen nation. A Syrophoenician. By nation. She got no covenant claims on Jesus. And she besought him that he would give her half the kingdom. No. You know what she wants? She doesn't want a yacht. She doesn't want a vacation. She doesn't want a shopping spree. She wants to get the devil away from her children. She besought him he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter, but you wouldn't expect that word to be there. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the dog's bread, or the children's bread, and cast it unto the dogs. Here's a humble woman praying at Jesus' feet to help her daughter, and Jesus calls her a dog and says, I owe you nothing. You know why the Holy Ghost put that in Mark 7? Because you just read about a woman in Mark 6. John didn't come close to saying anything like that to her. He just said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And she wanted him dead. And Jesus told that woman, you're a dog. You don't deserve a crumb from off my table. And she just rolled over and showed him her neck. And said, if you'll just scratch right there, I'll be a dog. I'll be a dead dog. You can call me whatever you want. Just help my daughter. Man, some of the finest women in America go to our church. Some of the finest young ladies in this country go to our church. And they go out there and stand on that street corner with a pocket full of tracks, dressed modestly and happy and smiling and laughing. And these lesbians come up and insult them. These businesswomen come up and insult them. These lumberjack gals come up and say, why you got to wear that? How come you wearing that? Why you wear your hair like that? And you know what they do? They're just so happy to be saved and to know Jesus. Call me a dog, put me under the table and kick me twice. I'm free from the devil. I'm washed in the blood. I'm not going to hell. Well, this world, don't they make fun of you for going to church like this? Don't they make fun of you for that old King James Bible? Don't they make fun of you for modest apparel and all the rest of that? They just laugh and ridicule and mock and make fun. We just walk over that bowl and look, see if there's any Alpo in there. Wag our tails and eat it up. Call me whatever you want. I know somebody can run the devil out of my house. He said, let the children first be filled. I'm not finished dealing with these Jews. It's not meat. It wouldn't be right for me to take these healing gifts and miracles to prove I'm the Messiah of Israel and give them to you, a Greek, a Syrophoenician. That's outside the dispensational boundaries. And cast it under the dogs. You should never use insulting words for women. I know these preachers get up, they talk so rude and crude. I got saved, I started listening to those guys. Because, you know, you're a young man, it appeals to you. And my dad wasn't in church then. My parents came to church. They were on vacation. I was starting a church up in North Carolina. They came to visit. And I did all that stuff, you know. You know the kind of preaching I'm talking about. And on the way out the door, my mother took me by the hand. She said, "Son, I did not raise you to talk to people like that." I had to go, at that church emptied out, I had to go get on my knees and tell God I was sorry for shaming my mother. Jesus wasn't rude. He's not calling this woman an insulting name. He is saying this is not something a Gentile is entitled to. You're asking me for something that I've not promised you. I got a lot of those things on my prayer list. And I take them to the Lord and I say, "I cannot pray this prayer by faith because I don't know if this is your will or not because it's not in the Bible, but I'm asking." And here's what he said. She answered and said unto him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table." She didn't say, "How dare you?" She said, "If that's how you see me, you know more about this thing than I do. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter." You know what she asked for herself? Nothing. Not half the kingdom, not a tenth of the kingdom, not one square foot of land in the kingdom. She said, "Jesus, I'm under the table and I need a crumb, and your crumbs are better than Herod's riches. I need the devil to leave my daughter alone." Now go back just for a minute. I'm almost finished. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 18, "It is not lawful for thee." Verse number 19, "Had a quarrel." Verse number 19, "Against him." Verse number 19, "Would have killed him." Verse number 22, "Herodias danced." Verse number 24, "The head of John the Baptist." Verse number 27, "An executioner." Verse number 27, "And beheaded him." Verse 28, "And brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel and gave it to her mother." What a tabloid life. What a bitter, savage, cruel, violent, dirty life. Mark chapter 7, verse 30. "And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed." I'm old enough now to know this for a fact. Violence is not where it's at. Upheaval is not where it's at. Quarreling and fighting is not where it's at. Do you know if at 11 p.m. this evening you could rise up from your comfortable chair in your living room and walk down your hall and open the door and let the light from the hallway shine in and see your son or your daughter asleep in their bed without a care in the world? They're not worried about daddy coming home drunk. They're not worried about mama bringing some man in the house. They're not worried about what alcohol's going to do. They're not afraid of the devil. They went to sleep, listened to people sing sweet songs about Jesus. And there they sleep with a smile on their face. I'm telling you, it's worth more than all of Herod's kingdom to have the devil gone out of your house and have your children lying safe in their beds. Young man, get over yourself. Thank God for a mother. Thank God for a daddy that won't let the devil in your house. Young lady, you ought to thank God. You can lay down safe in your bed tonight and know you don't know how to dance and you don't know how to manipulate men and you're not comfortable with severed heads. Thank the Lord. Some of you in here tonight, 70, 80 years old, how much better has your life been because of a Christian mother? How much better has your life been because of a godly upbringing? Let's purpose in our hearts tonight. We're going to be like that second woman, not like that first one. I might not know everything there is to know about Jesus, but I can humble myself at His feet and ask Him to help my loved ones. Amen. Father, bless Your Word tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.